Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Back at it again, baby. It's a week 15 holiday. You know how we do it. NFL Draft Bible presents the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. I am your host, Rick Serratella, and I'm joined by the most. Let me introduce first Ross Tardonis, Ross Mandel.
Doing very well, Rick. Ready for a little playoff action today.
Yeah, recuperated from that back-to-back. We did the Fantasy Football Roundtable discussion with the Tasmanian Devil there in Jersey last night. So if you didn't listen to it live, check that out right after our show. And the good Reverend Ralph Mancini always popping his collar fresh out of church.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. What's up, guys?
Yep, that's going to be a big theme. We have a lot of playoff implications, a lot of weather implications this week going into a prime week. And you know what, guys? It's only to mean one thing. It's Tebow time. That's right, Tim Tebow getting his first career NFL start. But let's start it off in Carolina and the Who Cares game of the week, where the Carolina Panthers, 1-12, are hosting the Arizona Cardinals, 4-9. It's return of the Mac, John Skelton, who led the Cardinals to victory last week, showcasing himself for a potential starter next season, Ross.
Oh, yes, it's the thriller. It's the thriller, baby, and the chiller. Look, I like running backs in this game, especially Jonathan Stewart going against the 30th-ranked run defense of Arizona. He's clearly become and probably always has been the number one guy as long as he can stay on the field in Carolina. And I have to say that the number one guy in Arizona is also a must-play here, and that's Tim Hightower. Look, Beanie Wells, sick, hurt, not giving an effort, whatever you want to call it. But Hightower produced big time last week, and this week against the 25th-ranked run defense of Carolina, and you got two quarterbacks that are unproven, to put it nicely. I like the running back's chances to shine in this game. And unfortunately for my dud of this game, Steve Smith, that means not a lot for wide receivers. Look, this guy's got two touchdowns all season. I know it's not his fault, but he hasn't scored since week two. He had 17 yards last week. He's been complaining, probably justifiably, about his quarterback. I can't blame him for that. Arizona's pass defense is a little bit vulnerable, but, you know, you got to use caution when your wide receiver is getting thrown to by Jimmy Clausen. So I would bench Steve Smith in any case. The sleeper here is the Arizona Cardinal defense. Before you laugh, they got 8 touchdowns. That leads the league. And you got Jimmy Clausen in there. There's a chance they might make it at least 9. Carolina gives up the most points to opponent fantasy football defenses, if you can follow that. I'd start them over the Saints, Minnesota, Green Bay, or the Giants, believe it or not. Arizona wins this game, does not give up a touchdown, 21-6.
All right, there you have it. Ross Tardonis, Ross Mandel said so. And you can always go to NFLDraftBible.com each and every week for his Ross Tardonis week in review around the league. He takes you there and back. And we're going to move into our next matchup. Definitely want to give a shout-out to our chat room people, early morning, East Coasters, maybe not, America Guests, Go Bronx, Ribner Group. Hopefully that's our buddy Luke. And Snake Eyes in the chat room, always, always a pleasure to have you. Always taking your questions. We're going to be answering your questions. If you're tuning in for the first time, we go around the league of mystery and intrigue. We talk about each game, fantasy stud duds and sleepers for each and every one. And our second Who Cares game of the week, Ralph, is the Cleveland Browns, 5-8, heading into the Cincinnati Bengals territory, 2-11, where the Bengals are playing like the Bungles. And I guess the big news out of Cincinnati this week was, you know, Carson Palmer publicly speaking about his future in Cincinnati, saying that he would not take a pay cut to stay next season and that anything's possible regarding his future. He's due to make $11.5 million, Ralph.
Yeah, that was one of the more humorous reports of the week. You know, Carson Palmer taking a tough stand after playing like a bum like he has all season long. But, you know, the one person who does care about this game is Eric Mangini, who is trying to hold on to his job as head coach. Look, outside of Peyton Hillis, there are not too many studs in this game. And I would say Ben Watson might be a guy that might be in line for a good game. He's as inconsistent as they come. He went from recording 10 receptions versus Miami to winding up with only one catch last week. But and also the Bengals are actually decent versus tight ends. But what gives you a little bit of hope here is that Colt McCoy is back in the lineup, and the young rookie, like so many neophytes like to do, he's going to key in on his favorite target and ride him as much as possible. The other stud here is Terrell Owens. Now, he hasn't done much of anything lately as he prepares to pack his bags for his next NFL destination, but T.O. did have his best statistical game of the year versus Cleveland earlier in the year with 10 receptions, over 200 yards, and a touchdown. The Browns' secondary has improved a little bit, but it can still be beaten. The dud here is Cedric Benson. The one positive you could always point out regarding Benson is the fact that he gets a lot of carries, but the problem is that he's doing less and less with those carries. He's been averaging under 3.0 yards per carry in each of his last three games, making him a low upside play versus a Cleveland defense that has given up only 4 touchdowns on the ground all year. Very impressive. The sleeper here is the Cleveland defense. The Browns have totaled 11 takeovers over the past 4 weeks, tied for second most in the league over that stretch. And this week, they got the one, the only, Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer, who, by the way, single-handedly won that game for Pittsburgh last week by throwing 3 ill-advised interceptions. The final score here, I'm going to go with Cleveland 23, Cincinnati 17.
All right, there you have it. Carson Palmer doing his best Neil O'Donnell impersonation. And this is the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, breaking it down for the people now. We do it each and every week, every Sunday, 8 to 10. There's 2 more Sundays left in the season. And if you're listening to us right now, hopefully that means you are in your fantasy football playoffs. And we might talk a little bit about strategy later on in the show. But first, we're going to get through, you know, a lot of good football this week. You know, the NFL shook up the schedule in this and made a lot of interconference or interdivision play in the last couple weeks of the season. And I'll tell you what, the chips definitely fell in the right way for this week because there's about 6 or 7 games with playoff implications. It's going to be a great Sunday, but unfortunately we have to talk about a game that does not have playoff implications. That would be an AFC East yawner, Ross, where the Bills, 3-10, travel into Miami, where the Dolphins are 7-6 and stumbling.
Come on, baby. It's Henny against Fitzpatrick. You can't get up for that one? Look, this is another running back game. Freddie Jackson, he may be limited against Miami's front 7, but he'll feature prominently in the passing game as he usually does. You can use him with confidence as a number 2 running back. Ronnie Brown had his second best fantasy game of the season against Buffalo way back when both these teams still had high hopes for the season. I think you can expect Mr. Brown to fare well as a flex against the league's worst run defense. And I think you can also feel confident using Stevie Johnson and Brandon Marshall. Yeah, that's right, Brandon Marshall. They're both number 2s if you have to use them. Lee Evans' absence means more targets for Johnson, and Buffalo is very banged up in the secondary, so I think you can expect Marshall to find the end zone, if anybody does, off the arm of Chad Henne today. I think even in a 2-quarterback league, I wouldn't use Henne or Fitzpatrick. You know, if you saw any of Henne's 5 for 18 for a whopping 55 yards against the Jets, you know you shouldn't be using him ever. And Fitzpatrick's arm simply can't deal with weather or anything other than a shootout. This guy gets all his points when his team's involved in high-scoring games. This is going to be anything but that. The sleeper in this one, to me, is the Revs boy, Ricky Williams. He almost always posts solid numbers against Buffalo. Buffalo's run defense is so bad that I think there's enough for Brown and Williams to both make some hay here. And Chad Henne is so bad, there's going to be lots of opportunities to watch Ricky run here. The Dolphins win the snoozer 20-12.
All right, there you have it. Ross Stradamus, Ross Mandel says so. And while you were talking, Ross, we had a question come in through the chat room. Go Bronx in the chat, always a pleasure. PPR League, Ralph meets 2 of these guys. I'm really not a big fan of any one of them, to be honest. Cedric Benson, Turf Toe Johnny, Freddie Jackson, and Rashard Jennings. He also says that Ricky Williams and Mike Goodson are also available on the waiver wire. So, you know, he has about 6 options here, needs 2 of these guys. Cedric Benson, Jonathan Stewart, Freddie Jackson, Rashad Jennings, with Ricky Williams and Mike Goodson available on the waiver wire. Who do you like here, Rev?
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't like Benson, and you really can't put too much faith in Rashard Jennings just because you don't know how many carries he's going to get, even though I love what I've seen out of him. I would go here with Jonathan Stewart, definitely. I like the way he's playing. I think he's got the most potential out of all these guys that have been listed. I'm not a big fan of Freddie Jackson this week either. I would definitely go with Jonathan Stewart here, and then I would pick up one of these two guys on the waiver wire. I would go with, I'd probably go with Ricky Williams. Again, I think he's got the most upside. I think that's going to be a game that's going to, where the Dolphins are going to run the ball a lot, and they'll be pretty successful running the ball, I think. So I'd probably pick up Ricky Williams and definitely go with Jonathan Stewart here.
All right, so the Reverend has no hesitations with Jonathan Stewart, the Carolina Panthers. You know, they basically got nothing to play for. They might want to take a longer look at Mike Goodson. Ross, you want to take a stab at this?
Yeah, I would definitely go with Turf Toe Johnny here, but I'd also go with Fred Jackson. I think he's earned it. Look, he's had decent games against solid run defenses like Pittsburgh. I think that he does enough all around to get to double digits in fantasy points, and I'm not sure any of the other guys on this list are going to do that, but if I had to, Williams would be my other choice.
All right, coming in next, America's guest. Welcome to the show, PPR League. He has Kyle Orton and Joe Flacco. Obviously, we know it's Tim Tebow time, so we could throw Kyle Orton out the window. Actually, we could just throw him in the gutter where he belongs. Joe Flacco, not a great matchup against the Saints this week. On the waiver wire, Ross, he has Matt Castle, Kerry Collins, and Jason Campbell. Collins and Campbell being the guys that stick out to me. I know on the Fantasy Football Roundtable Twitter discussion last night, you thought it was a very Kerry Christmas. So why don't you give this one a try?
Yeah, I think in this matchup, I actually would go with Kerry Collins, and it's more of a testament to how awful the Houston Texans' pass defense is than anything else. I don't dislike Joe Flacco today, but I think Collins actually throws for one more touchdown and about 40, 50 more yards. I'd go with Kerry Collins.
Good Reverend, Ralph Mancini. Who do you like, Joe Flacco, Kerry Collins, or Jason Campbell this week?
Yeah, normally I would tell you to go with Flacco, but I don't like his matchup this week. The Saints have given up 8 touchdowns all year via the pass. So I'm going to go with Kerry Collins myself. As Ross said, that Houston secondary is giving up more fantasy points to the quarterback position than any other defensive backfield out there. You go with Collins, you have to think that Kenny Britt, in his second week back from a long layoff, that he's going to be raring to go. So I'm going to go with Kerry Collins here.
All right, there you have it. And we'll talk more about Tim Tebow time later in the show, what to expect, as Taz points out in the chat. Denver defense has been worse than the Houston defense over the last 5 weeks, which is a great segue into our next game because, Ralph, the Texans take on the Titans. They travel into Tennessee. Both teams are 5-8, both teams underachieving this season. And I got to be honest, if you haven't heard the clip, go do it. It's funny stuff, and there's not a doubt in my mind that it's not Randy Moss. It is Randy Moss, but he called into a local Tennessee radio show, disguised himself as Woody, and obviously Woody had a big beef with Jeff Fisher this week, but it's some funny stuff. If you haven't heard the clip, do it. And you know, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it, Rev, but I am convinced, without a reasonable doubt, that it is 100% Randy Moss.
No, you're not the only one that thinks that. And by the way, there's a little discussion here in the chat room. You know, some people are saying go with Campbell in regards to that last question, and some people are saying go with Collins. Look, I understand the Broncos are awful in defending the pass. They got some guys who are long in the tooth that need to go there. But the thing with the Raiders is that they would love to run the ball all game long if they could. So that's why I'd be a little careful with Jason Campbell. I think he's definitely a prime candidate to have a good game. But, again, if the Raiders can get away with running the ball and throwing some safe little screen passes all game long, then that's what they're going to do. As far as this game is concerned, Houston at Tennessee, And I referenced this before. I love Kenny Britt in this game. Don't be scared by last week's mediocre performance. Britt was coming from a long layoff. You know, after some more practice time, the second-year stud should have his way versus a Houston secondary that has been abused all season long. Look for Britt to make plays after the catch versus a defensive backfield that cannot tackle to save its life. Britt's size and physical style of play will be too much for a mistake-prone, risk-taking group headlined by guys like Kareem Jackson, Glover Quinn, and Jason Allen. The other stud here, the guy who has arisen from the dead like Lazarus, is Owen Daniels. Daniels finally made himself useful last week by putting up 91 yards on 5 receptions. Daniels reestablished himself as Matt Schaub's go-to guy underneath, and Tennessee has allowed the 8th most fantasy points to tight ends. It's a good matchup, and Daniels finally seems like he's been coming around. He's coming around after being practically useless all season. The dud here is Bo Scaife. I mean, he caught fire versus Indy with 4 receptions for 50 yards and 2 touchdowns, but don't look for lightning to strike twice. He's usually only good for 1 to 3 catches, and you can never tell when guys like Craig Stevens or Jared Cook will get some attention. The other dud here, Jacoby Jones. I mean, here's another guy who's coming off a good week. Houston is more of a running team these days, and for all of Jones' athleticism, he's still very mistake-prone, and he is only the number 3 receiver in Houston's offense. The sleeper, of course, is a guy that we've spoken about already, and that's Kerry Collins. Excuse me. Houston gives up the most fantasy points to the quarterback position, and Collins was very solid versus Indy with 3 touchdowns, 244 passing yards, and no picks. With Mario Williams on injured reserve, Collins won't have to worry about the pass rush. I like Tennessee in this game, 30-26.
All right, so a close one in Tennessee with the Titans pulling it out, according to the good Reverend. Back over to the chat room, and we've got a couple questions we've got to decipher here. Needs 2 of these guys, Ross. It needs to pick at least 1 running back. He has Freddie Jackson, Marshawn Lynch, so one of those guys has to play. The other guys he has to choose from is your boy, Ben Obomanu, and Percy Harvin with Joe Webb throwing the ball, or Danny Amendola. So you got Freddie Jackson and Marshawn Lynch. Needs to pick at least 1 running back. Then Obomanu, Harvin, and Amendola. Which 2 guys do you like here?
Well, despite what Taz might think there in the chat room, I don't know if he's going to say it, but he did last night. He loves Marshawn Lynch. I don't this week, especially not over Fred Jackson, who's managed to produce, whether it's on the ground or through the air. I also happen to like my man Ben Obomanu today. I think Seattle's going to be throwing the ball an awful lot, and I don't necessarily trust the other 2 guys on that list, so I'm going with Obomanu and Freddie Jackson.
Yeah, I don't know if I can play Marshawn Lynch when the chips are on the table in my fantasy football playoffs and have confidence in that. That's why I'm going to go over to the good Reverend and get a third opinion. Freddie Jackson, Obomanu, Lynch, Harvin, and Amendola. Give me 2, Ralph.
Yeah, some tough choices here. I'm probably going to go with Amendola. I mean, I really don't love any of these guys. Look, I would probably, you know, another guy to look at here is Fred Jackson, but I don't like his matchup. I'd probably go with Amendola here. He hasn't done much lately. But, you know, he's a guy that is very good underneath, a good PPR guy. I'd probably go with Amendola.
All right, and he needs 1 running back. So you like Freddie Jackson or Marshawn Lynch better this week?
Oh, God. I'd probably go with Marshawn Lynch here, just because I think that he has a little bit of a better matchup here, and he always gives. No, actually, his matchup is not that good either. I'm sorry, he's going up against Atlanta. You know what? I go with Freddie Jackson here, just because at least Freddie Jackson can catch some balls out of the backfield. Marshawn Lynch, I mean, most weeks all he's going to give you maybe is a short touchdown. He's not going to give you much in terms of yards. I mean, usually he's only good, you know, for like maybe 20 yards. I mean, there's really no upside there with Marshawn Lynch. I think Freddie Jackson gives you a little bit more hope.
All right, there you have it. A painfully tough decision for our hosts there. Tough question. Good luck with it. It's playoff time. This is where you earn your money. Non-PPR needs two. Rashard Mendenhall, Ronnie Brown, Anquan Boldin, Brandon Marshall, Tim Hightower, Ryan Terrain. I'll say him again. Ralph needs two. Mendenhall, Ronnie Brown, Boldin, Brandon Marshall, Tim Hightower, and Ryan Terrain. Which two do you like?
Okay. Well, as you know, I usually go with the running backs over the receivers. So I'd probably stick with Mendenhall. I know that he doesn't have a great matchup versus the Jets, but you know this guy's going to get the carries, and sooner or later I think he's going to bust out a big run. I'm confident that he's going to score this week. So Mendenhall would be one of my choices here. And then probably the other guy is you got to roll with the hot hand. And you go with Tim Hightower. I mean, this guy, he's got a good matchup versus Carolina. And, you know, right now he's the hot hand in Arizona. As Ross said before, with Beanie Wells, I mean, he's a guy that you can't count on, a guy with all the talent in the world. But I don't think he's the most competitive guy out there. Tim Hightower, he'll give you everything he can, even though he's not as talented as Beanie Wells. So I'm going to go with Mendenhall and Hightower here.
I agree. I like Mendenhall. I think you have to play him. And then, you know, I also would go Tim Hightower, like you said, Beanie Wells out of the picture. Mendenhall and Hightower are the two that stick out to me. The boys, Ross, are playing for a championship, and he wants to know, John Kitna against Washington or Matty Ice against Seattle?
Yeah, wow. I think, despite the fact that I think Kitna is going to have a good week, I think Dallas is going to roll. I still have to love that matchup with Matt Ryan going against the 30th-ranked Seattle pass defense up in the Northwest. I think Atlanta is too good to stumble, definitely offensively. So I'm going to go with Matt Ryan in that one.
I have to agree. That's a game where the Falcons are just going to come in town and take care of business and get out of town real quick, in and out. My ex-girlfriend told me I'd do the same back in the day. Philly Sports Talker. Philly Sports Talker in the chat. Want to welcome him to the show. Wants to know Lance Moore or Greg Jennings, Ralph?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this would normally be a slam dunk. I mean, Greg Jennings all the way, right? Well, not so fast, my friend, because Aaron Rodgers is not going to play this week, and you really don't know what you're going to get out of Matt Flynn. He didn't look too impressive last week versus Detroit. You gotta go with the safe pick here. You gotta go with Lance Moore, just because. First of all, the matchup is much better for the Saints here. You know, the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, their defense is just not the same defense we're all used to. They're giving up loads of yards, and you know, I'll get to that later on when I cover that game. But you gotta like Lance Moore here. He's still a go-to guy underneath. I don't like what I've seen out of Reggie Bush in his first few weeks back from his injury. So I would probably go with Lance Moore here. It's a bit of a tough decision. But, again, you don't know what you're going to get out of Matt Flynn. He's got a brutal matchup versus the Patriots this year. You don't want to take those types of chances when you are in a playoff situation here. I'd probably go with Lance Moore.
I actually, Rev, I've been rubbing the Rostradamus crystal ball, and
hey.
I know what you're going to get from Matt Flynn. You're going to get 15 to 25 and about 150 yards. Ross, Mumphrey wants to know in the chat room, non-PPR needs two. Mario, Super Mario Manningham, your boy, Earl Bennett, okay, but then we got some hot hands here, Stevie Johnson, Mike Sims Walker and Braylon Edwards, so he needs two of these guys. It's a non-PPR, Manningham, Bennett, Stevie Johnson, Mike Sims Walker, and Braylon Edwards. Which two are you rolling the dice with?
Well, I'm definitely going with Stevie Johnson. I just think he's going to have a ton of opportunity today. I don't know how much he's going to convert that into, but you have to think at least a little bit of that Ryan Fitzpatrick stick to the wall there. As for the last one, I don't know, man. It's a coin flip. I did like how Mike Sims-Walker came through for a touchdown last week, but he's not really good for yards. You know, I'm going to roll the dice here and go
you know
with
you
the wild
do
card.
It.
Wild card.
You know you
Braylon Edwards.
Okay. You were chatting that Earl Bennett train last night. I thought you might go down that avenue.
I just don't I don't trust the weather and the conditions there.
Yeah, and you know, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you who I don't trust. I don't trust Mario Manningham.
Yeah, I don't either.
Just a little banged up, and I think Derek Hagan might be the guy there for the G-Men. All right, going back over to the chat, Ralph needs a running back question, non-PPR. He's got no Sean Moreno, Ray Rice, LeGarrette Blount, and Ryan Terrain. Call me crazy, but I'm not benching Ray Rice during playoffs time. Am I crazy?
He needs one out of these guys?
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. You can't bench Ray Rice. I mean, look, has he been the guy that we expected him to be prior to the season? No, he's been a little disappointing. But still, Ray Rice is, you know, by far the best option out of all, the rest of these guys. I mean, you know, probably, you know, LeGarrette Blount would be second. But again, there are deficiencies in LeGarrette Blount's game. I mean, he needs to be more of a hammer out there. He needs to be more of a downhill runner. To me, he goes a little too laterally when he runs the ball. Ray Rice is a guy that you know you can count on. And even if he's not gaining yards running the ball, you know that he can make plays on those screen passes. And you know that Joe Flacco is going to be looking his way on those types of plays early and often. So, yeah, I'd go with Ray Rice here.
Yeah, kind of hard to bench him now when the chips are on the table, so to speak. All right, Ross, the Philly Sports Stalker here, stats at running back. He needs two of these guys, Arian Foster, Jonathan Stewart, No Sean Moreno, and Jamal Charles. I'd say a lot of these guys are very evenly ranked this week. Arian Foster, Turf Toe Johnny, No Sean Moreno, and Jamal Charles. Which two are you going to double down with?
Yeah, I'm definitely going with Foster and Charles here, although, you know, I really do like the way No Sean Moreno's played of late. I just can't rank him ahead of Jamal Charles right now. I think Kansas City probably going to scale back on the passing game even more than usual, go with Jamal Charles and Thomas Jones in the dome against the Rams, and a game that they really have to win. And you can't sit Arian Foster for anybody at this point. So those are the two guys I would use.
All right, let's get one more in from the chat room and move on to our next game. Kick return yardage, you get 1 point for every 25 return yards, Ralph. And it's also a PPR league, so he wants to know between Mike Williams, Ben Obumanu, and Danny Amendola, which two should he start? He needs to bench one.
Wow. Boy.
That's Mike Williams from Tampa Bay and Ben Obumanu.
Williams from Tampa Bay. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes it a lot easier. All right. I'll definitely go with Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. And I'd also go with Amendola. I mean, Ben Obumanu, I mean, again, I really don't know what to expect out of him. I really don't know what to expect out of Seattle's offense. And they got a tough matchup. They're going up against Atlanta's defense. And I don't really see Seattle doing much of anything this week. I want to go with Mike Williams and Danny Amendola, two guys that have been doing it for most of the year, the more consistent guys. I'm going to go with consistency over potential here. Give me Williams and Amendola.
All right, and I just saw a question coming in about the wide receivers, non-PPR. I see DeSean Jackson in the mix, and really that's all you need to know. Action Jackson will definitely, I'm not sure. It's a non-PPR, so I'm not sure he'll have a bunch of catches, but he will definitely get behind that Giants secondary. He's just too fast for them to cover. I don't care if you want to throw Terrell Thomas or whoever else you want to trot out there, but I'll take DeSean Jackson over Hakeem Nicks, Greg Jennings, and Mike Williams any day of the week. All right, this is the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show. I am your host, Rick Saratella. I'm joined by the stars of the show, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. You can get some more good stuff from them online at NFLDraftBible.com. Got to give a shout-out to our boy Taz holding down the chat room. If you didn't catch the Fantasy Football Roundtable Twitter discussion last night, after this show, I highly recommend you go and check out the archive of that. Listen, it's a good listen. Listen here. You know, instead of getting me as the host, you get me as the analyst, and I say some crazy off-the-wall things. But, you know, some of them, you know, I have a crystal ball, too, and you know what? I got some oldie but goodies for you Don't make me get sexy Rexy all on you. All right, guys, let's go over to one of the games, and we'll come right back to the chat room, I promise. But, Ross, first we have to discuss the Detroit Lions, who have gone nowhere this year, 3-10. I guess, you know, they won more games than the previous 2 years combined. They travel into Tampa Bay, who is 8-5 and just hanging on, clinging on to barely holding on, hope for a playoff spot.
Actually kind of like Tampa's playoff chances, but not in this game. There's a lot. I mean, I do like them to win, but there's not a lot here fantasy-wise as far as I'm concerned. A lot of number two guys here, starting with Mike Williams of Tampa Bay. He had an off week last week, one catch for 15 yards, but I think the friendly confines in Tampa should get him back on track. Charles Johnson, he's going to have a decent day against Bucs secondary without Aqib Talib, and the fact that, man, they just got to get him the ball. I think he'd be a number one if Sean Hill was going to play, but he's not, and I'm not sold on Drew Stanton at all. The guy's terrible. LeGarrette Blount, look, you know, the guy's the number one running back there, and he's going to make some hay. But, look, he's not going to get number one numbers. The only guy in this game who has the potential to get number one in his position numbers, to me, is Josh Freeman. I think he's a top 10 play against a pretty mediocre Detroit defense at home. He's avoiding mistakes, and there is points for Tampa Bay to come through with here. The dud here, I'm going to have to dud Jabed Best, man. I just cannot trust this guy. Even though he looked decent going against a bad Tampa Bay run defense, I cannot trust him to stay healthy enough to get 20 carries a game. Maurice Morris there stealing carries. We're going to start calling him Turf Toe Jabed if Jonathan Stewart could stay healthy for any much longer. I just don't think Best is worth anything more than a flex play at this point. And maybe not a sleeper anymore, but I'm going to list him here as one, and that's Aurelius Ben. Yes, Aurelius. He's being targeted more of late as teams look to cover Mike Williams. I think he's worth a shot in a deeper league. I like Tampa Bay offense this week. I think they roll Detroit 27-16.
All right, there you have it. Tampa Bay seems to win the easy games. It's the tough games. You know, they haven't beaten a team with a winning record yet this season, so I'm not sure I'm on board with those playoff chances there, Ross. But let's keep it moving, because now we're going to start getting into some of those games with some playoff implications. And, Ralph, I got to say, this game is flying under the radar this week in terms of national attention that it's receiving. But both the Kansas City Chiefs at 8-5 traveling into – they're not traveling very far. They're staying in state to St. Louis, who's 6-7. And let's be honest, the winner of this matchup is most likely going to win their division.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I like Steven Jackson as a stud here. This guy just takes a licking and keeps on ticking. He's averaged 99 yards over the past 2 weeks. And Kansas City, let's face it, is just a middle-of-the-road defense against the run. You know, in fact, Kansas City has been struggling along its defensive line with guys like Tyson Jackson, who's been who hasn't really been what many expected him to be out of LSU. Look for at least 90 yards and a score from Action Jackson. And then, again, of course, Jamaal Charles is another stud here. The Rams have issues sealing the edge. Look for a good perimeter back like Charles to take advantage of that. The dud here, and I have a really hard time starting this guy this week, because that's Dwayne Bowe. You know, after some dominant performances, Bowe has been a non-factor over the past 2 weeks. With Matt Cassel being a game-time decision, this is no time to take chances. And even if Cassel plays, it's going to be nowhere near 100% because people usually require 3 weeks of rest following an appendectomy. The sleeper here, and I had a hard time picking a sleeper out of this lot of players, but I'd probably go with Brandon Gibson if you're really desperate. He's been St. Louis's most active receiver of late. He caught 4 passes for 67 yards versus the Saints, and he had a total of 7 targets. He's been pretty consistent with 6 straight games with 3 or more receptions. With Brandon Gibson, at least you know you're not going to end up with a big zero. So if you're in a very deep league, maybe Brandon Gibson might be a decent option here. As far as this ball game is concerned, I'll go with St. Louis 20-13.
All right, so the Reverend likes the Rams here. to pull off the victory. And I'll tell you what, this kid Sam Bradford is something special. I think he put all those critics, quieted all those critics that were talking all that junk about him. And you know what? I'm not sure if I've ever seen in my lifetime a rookie quarterback come into the league and play the way he has. This kid's a star in the making. I think he's already catapulted himself as one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. I think within the next year or two, he'll be one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league. And as long as this kid stays healthy, you're looking at a potential all-pro quarterback. I love this kid, Sam Bradford, and I would love to see him in the playoffs. I think it'd be fun to watch. And, you know, tip of the hat to our buddy Steve Spagnuolo, who just a year ago at this time looked like, you know, he never steered the ship right. And the Rams took a lot of criticism. They took a lot of heat for taking Bradford over Sue. I'm still not sure that's the right choice, believe it or not. But, you know, anytime you can get a franchise quarterback like that, boy, oh, boy, is it looking good for the St. Louis Rams. And he doesn't even have any weapons to throw to. Imagine if this kid had some weapons on that offense. All right, guys, let's go back over to the chat room. We'll touch on that Dallas Cowboys and Washington Redskins matchup next, which I know Ross is chomping at the bit to get at. And first, we have to talk about PPR, Tim Hightower or Rashard Mendenhall-Ross?
I'd actually go with Tim Hightower in this instance, combination of the fact that the Jets' defense is going to not hold Mendenhall down but limit him somewhat, and I don't think Carolina's defense can limit anybody, much less a guy who's, let's face it, hot as all get out in Tim Hightower. I think Hightower has an outstanding week this week.
All right. I don't know if I agree with you. Are you on board with Hightower over Mendenhall and Rouse?
No, not really. I mean, I know that Hightower is coming off a superb game, and he does have a decent matchup, but I can't bench Mendenhall for Hightower. I mean, Mendenhall is a guy that I can rely on more. I know he's going to get the ball, and I know that he has a better chance of scoring. Look, maybe he's not going to go crazy and have 150 yards, but I can count on him this week for anywhere between 80 to 100 yards. I think the Steelers are going to pound the ball, and I think they're going to have plenty of opportunities to score the ball, with the ball at the goal line or inside the 10-yard line. I could definitely see Mendenhall scoring one, if not two, touchdowns this week.
Yeah, I like the Steelers to win that game. We'll talk about that matchup later on the show for sure. Chicago Bears, cheers. I saw a question in the chat room. You know, listen, April Fool's is still 4 or 5 months away, so spare me Ray Rice or Freddie Jackson if you even think twice about benching Ray Rice. Boy, oh boy, I'm going to come and pay you a personal visit. Flex position, non-PPR, needs one of these guys, Ross, one of these guys, just one. No Sean Moreno, LeGarrette Blount, Ryan Terrain, DeSean Jackson, Greg Jennings, and Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. I'll run through them once more. Just needs one. Moreno, Blount, Terrain, DeSean, Jennings, and Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Who do you like?
Well, I usually like going with running backs in this situation, but I'm telling you, it's impossible to stay away from DeSean Jackson. I mean, it's down to me from Marino and DeSean Jackson. I'm going to have to go with DeSean Jackson, man. He's just producing at a level that I have to use him. And I know the Giants limited him somewhat the last time they played, but I think he's actually going to have a pretty good day today. So I'm going to surprise and go with DeSean Jackson today.
I don't think it's a surprise because I agree with you 100%. And I'm from Jersey. No, Sean Moreno's from Jersey. And I'm going with DeSean Jackson, who plays for Philly. So that's all you need to know about that right there. Ralph, Lewis Murphy or Brandon Lloyd? One guy's got Jason Campbell throwing him the ball. The other guy's got Tim Tebow throwing him the ball. Which one are you going to put your fantasy football playoff life on?
You know, as much as it hurts me to say this, I'm probably going to have to go with Murphy over Lloyd. Lloyd's had a fantastic bounce-back season, but he is a product of the passing game. And this week, Denver's not going to have much of a passing game with Tim Tebow under center. You can't put your fantasy fortune in the hands of Tim Tebow. I think Murphy has shown some things recently. I mean, he's been active. He had a nice game last week, and the guy can make plays. He's got some speed. Is he reliable? No, he's not. But I think this week he'll be a little bit more reliable than Brandon Lloyd. So I'm going to go with Murphy.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I'll take it a step further if he's available. I actually like Jacoby Ford more than I like Lewis Murphy, so check that out. Team defense questions. Ross, first one. He's got four choices to choose from. Dallas, the Giants, the Browns, and the Raiders. Dallas plays Washington, Giants plays Philly, Cleveland plays the Bengals, and Oakland plays Denver. Which defense should he ride with here?
Well, I think I'd actually go with Dallas slightly over Oakland here. I just cannot, I mean, not that I trust Tim Tebow, but I think they're going to be a bit more conservative in their play calling than Washington is. So I think there's going to be more mistakes made by the Redskins' Rex Grossman than there is by Tim Tebow. And Dallas is fired up, man. This is their Super Bowl, by my estimation, today. They hate those Redskins. They're going to be fired up. I like the Dallas D today.
All right, there you have it. And that's actually the next game we're going to preview. But first, another defensive question, Ralph. Tampa Bay, Philly, or Baltimore, team defense? Tampa Bay plays Detroit, Philadelphia plays the G-Men, and Baltimore plays the Saints. The Buccaneers are almost sticking out to me like a sore thumb here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really not in love with any of these defenses this week, but out of the process of elimination, Tampa Bay comes out the winner here. I mean, look, they're going up against Drew Stanton, a guy who hasn't proven anything yet, very, 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 very raw. Therefore, you have to think that he's going to be mistake-prone. You have to think that Tampa Bay is going to be able to generate some turnovers here. I would go with Tampa Bay.
All right, and one more before we get into our game preview. Ross, we've got Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, the law firm, or LeSean Shady McCoy? Non-PPR, who do you like?
Oof, tough to get away from Shady McCoy the way he's been playing lately. I'm going to have to go with him.
All right, and why don't you take us to that Dallas and Redskins matchup where the Cowboys are 4-9, the Redskins are 5-8. And, looks like there are some Donovan McNabb fans in the chat room.
Oh, is that where both of them are? I mean, come on now. Look, Dallas, as I said, I think they're looking toward this game. They're drooling against a Redskin team that, for my money, is in about to have a mutiny here. There's a lot of dissent in the locker room over the benching of McNabb. Now that Albert Haynesworth thing looks even more curious. The stud here... not usually going to be a stud for me, but John Kitna, home against the Washington defense, has given up the sixth most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. I think even without Dez Bryant, Kitna's good for like 275 and at least a couple touchdowns, and at least one of them is going to go to Jason Witten, who is another stud in this game. He's got three touchdowns the last 2 weeks. He's a top five tight end this week against a collapsing Redskin defense, for my money. Dud here. I'm going to have to go with Tashard Choice, guys. He had just 7 carries last week. I know he probably will double that this week, and who knows what's going to go on in that backfield. But I don't think he can afford to roll the dice in the playoffs. And I just have to avoid running back situations where the guy's going to get less than 10 carries potentially. He might even come up with, 30, 35 yards. And, I mean, look, I'm not going to list Rex Grossman as a dud here. Everybody knows what this guy can do, including Mike Shanahan.
Oh, come on now.
Come on, you. Look, the sleeper here. Grossman's going to throw a touchdown or two in this game, and I think he's going to throw more interceptions than touchdowns, but I'm still solid enough to go with Anthony Armstrong here. Look, Dallas gives up the most points to fantasy wide receivers, regardless of who the quarterback is. I think there's going to be some room to run for Anthony Armstrong in that secondary. And if you want to go a little deeper than that, my man Sam Hurd for the Dallas Cowboys is going to play. I think he's going to find some room as well, although Dallas does like the dump-off, so he might only be worth it as a number three in a deep league. I just think Dallas is going to play a lot harder than the Washington Redskins in this game, and as a result, I have the Cowboys winning pretty easily, 35-17.
All right. Well, Ralph, I can't get Ross to buy into my logic that Mike Shanahan has such an ego that he's going to fling it and wing it about 40 times with Sexy Rexy today. I think Rex Grossman is actually a pretty good fantasy player. Are you with me?
No, I can't endorse that. I mean, if that guy puts up the ball 50 times, he's probably going to get it intercepted about at least 5 or 6 times. You don't want that. And the other thing about Grossman, too, is if we remember from his Chicago days, this guy fumbles the ball a lot also. Let's not forget about that either now.
All right. Well, you know what? You never know. It took Vinny Testaverde a few years to get good, too. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show. Rick Saratella, Russ Mandel, Ralph Mancini going around the league of mystery and intrigue. A couple weeks left here until we take out the ring polish, make room on the mantle, baby. Time to put another trophy in the showcase because it's showtime, go time, and this is how we do it. Going back over to the chat room, people. Atlanta, St. Louis, and New York, team defense question, Ross. The Falcons, Rams, or Jets? Rams playing the Chiefs, Jets playing the Steelers, Falcons playing the
Seahawks.
Seahawks. Who do you like there?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Atlanta here as an indictment of the Seattle offense. I just think they're very banged up, and I just think that Atlanta's defense is actually playing very well lately. I don't trust the Jets' defense against the Steelers. I think Pittsburgh's actually going to put some points up today against them. So I'm going to go with the Falcons here.
All right, another defensive question, Ralph. You like the Dolphins facing the Bills or the Cowboys facing the Skins?
Yeah, Dallas is very tempting, with Grossman starting today. But I'm going to go with Miami. I know that they're going to be tough. I know that they're going to shut down the passing game, Buffalo's passing game, which should also neutralize their running game as a result. I like the way Miami's secondary is playing. Vontae Davis is a top 5, top 6 corner, in my opinion. The guy's only going to get better. I'm going to go with Miami here.
Yeah, I like that Dolphins secondary. Let's not forget about Sean Smith either. Staying in the chat room, Ross, Anquan Boldin, Anquan Boldin, Mike Wallace, T.O., or Lance Moore. Needs 2 of those guys, Boldin, Wallace, T.O., and Lance Moore. Which 2 do you like?
Well, I'm definitely going with Mike Wallace today. You know, Revis Island notwithstanding, I think he has a pretty solid day. And, I mean, I like Anquan Boldin a little bit. Was Mike Williams in there?
No, it was okay. Boldin, Mike Wallace, T.O., and Lance Moore.
Yeah, I can't really rely on Lance Moore as much as I like him. And, I like Joe Flacco at home. I like Derek Mason, like Taz, more than Boldin, but I'll go with Boldin and Mike Wallace in that group.
All right. I can't say I disagree. T.O.'s a little banged up. Lance Moore is streaked. So, I'm on board with that. Listen, hey, some of these questions, sarcasm doesn't come through in the chat room. I'm going to ask it anyway. Ralph, Tom Brady or John Kitna?
No, you can't go against Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady every day of the week.
All right, just checking to make sure that I was still okay there. Ross, Jacob Tammy or Owen Daniels?
I'm down on Jacob Tammy, and he hasn't played that well the last couple weeks. Now Austin Collie back, as Taz mentioned in the chat room, going to take a lot of looks away from him. And for me, Owen Daniels finally healthy. You know, he had 90, 95 yards last week, I think, and he looked pretty good to me, so I'm definitely going with Owen Daniels here.
All right. Sticking with the tight end theme, Ralph, Owen Daniels or Tony Gonzalez, non-PPR?
It's a good one. Something? I like Tony Gonzalez as a guy that could score a cheap touchdown from close range, but I'm going to go with the hot guy here, and that's Owen Daniels. I think that Houston's going to be throwing the ball all over the lot, and they really have no choice but to throw the ball when they have that type of defense that gives up the amount of yards and the amount of points, especially in the passing game. Houston's offense is going to have to throw the ball a lot, and that's why I think Owen Daniels has a slightly better chance of having a good game than Tony Gonzalez. I'm going to stick with the hot head here and go with Daniels.
All right, there you have it. Ross, non-PPR, one of these guys, just one, Kenny Britt, Deion Branch, or Austin Collie. Tough choice to choose from, Britt, Branch, or Collie. Who are you rolling with?
I think I'm going to go with Kenny Britt. I just have a good feeling about him today. I like the other two guys as well, but I'm going to roll with Kenny Britt today against that defense.
All right. Dazed and Confused, been with us all season long. He's in a 15-team league. Ride or die time, so he's still staying alive. And Ralph, he wants to know, this is a touchdown-heavy league. He needs one wide receiver. Touchdown-heavy league. He's got Brandon Gibson, Aurelius Ben, or Ben Obumanu. This is a crucial decision for him, so let's steer him in the right direction.
Well, I really like Aurelius Ben. I like what I saw out of him last week. He's a big run-after-catch guy. But if you want consistency, the guy you have to go with is Gibson, because you know that he gets his looks each and every week. Aurelius Ben hasn't done it for a long enough period of time for me to endorse him. So I'm going to go with Gibson here, although I do love Ben as an upside play, as a sleeper this week. I'm probably going to go the safe route and go with Gibson. You know he's going to get you 3 to 5 catches, and he's very, very active in that passing game. You know that Bradford's going to look his way. So I'm going to go with the unexciting option here and go with Gibson.
All right, this is a tough one, so I'm going to have Ross weigh in on it because I know he's a big fan of Obumanu, and he was also touting that Aurelius Ben play last night on the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable discussion. So Gibson, Ben, or Obumanu, Ross, lay it on me.
I'm going to go with the guy you didn't mention, and that's Gibson. I just think that he's going to have the most opportunity today, and I like Sam Bradford to have a big game. And as I said last night, I think Gibson's going to be a big part of that. I don't necessarily trust either of the other two guys as much as I can rely on Gibson in that, you know, static climate with a solid quarterback throwing him the ball all game long. And Chiefs D isn't exactly kicking butt lately, so I feel pretty confident going with Gibson.
All right, so it looks like a unanimous call on Gibson. I'm not sure I would go that direction. If you want me to be honest, I'd probably roll the dice with Obumanu. I think the Seahawks will be down that entire game. I think he might get loose for a long touchdown, and this is a touchdown-heavy league. But that's just me. These guys are the stars of the show. They're the gurus. They're the experts. But I'm just telling you where I'm at, okay? Needs three of these guys. Next question, PPR league, Ralph. Arian Foster, Chris Johnson, Megatron, Mike Wallace, and Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Essentially, he has to bench two of these guys. So it needs three of the five, Foster, Chris Johnson, Megatron, Mike Wallace, or Mike Williams. Which three do you like?
Great question. You know, I'm going to go with definitely going to go with the two running backs here, Foster and Chris Johnson. There's no doubt about that. Then it comes down to which one of the receivers would you go with among Megatron, Wallace, and Mike Williams. I'm going to stick with Megatron here. I know that a lot of people don't think Detroit are going to win that game, myself included. But Tampa Bay's secondary, you know, is no great shakes. I mean, they lost the key to lead back there. So really, they don't have anything resembling a shutdown corner there. And I don't see anybody having any chance of shutting down Megatron, Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson, the one thing he has proven over the years is he can produce with a multitude of quarterbacks, no matter who you have back there. He's always a big target. You throw it up there for him, but his size and speed, he's going to make plays. I'm going to go with Megatron here along with the two running backs.
All right, I have Rondé Barber on line one, Ralph, who disagrees with you.
Is he still playing?
It's Ross, non-PPR league, needs one of these guys for his flex. Kenny Britt, Austin Collie, Ronnie Brown, Ryan Terrain, or Tashard Choice. Which one is going to bring him to the promised land? Britt, Collie, Brown, Terrain, or Choice?
I'm going to stick with the theme, and that's Kenny Britt. You know, I just it's such an anti-Houston Texan secondary pick But, I mean, look, the points are there to be had against this team. And if Britt doesn't go for at least 85 yards and a touchdown, I'd be shocked. And I don't think I can feel as strongly as about any of those other guys doing the same.
All right. There you have it. Brett S. in the chat room. Welcome to the show. We got a newbie in the chat room. Shout out to all our chat room people. Wants to know, Reverend, Jay Cutler, Kerry Collins, or Sam Bradford?
Well, yeah, I really, I don't have much faith in Cutler just because, I mean, I don't know what the game plan is going to be there with Chicago. It seems that recently, you know, they've been content with playing it safe, going with the short passes and relying on the running game. And that might be another game where they go ahead with that strategy. So to me, it comes down to Collins and Bradford. And Bradford, in my opinion, is going to have a good game. He does have a lot of weapons to throw it to. However, they can just rely on Steven Jackson in this game, I think, for the most part, and still win versus Kansas City. I'm going to go with Collins here because he gives me the most upside. He's got Kenny Britt back. He's got a multitude of weapons to throw to. He's got a good running game. And I think this is going to be a game where Tennessee is going to need to put up some points if they hope to win. Because let's face it, Houston also has its weapons. And Houston also, I mean, they were very impressive on Monday Night Football, you know, putting up two 90-yard drives in the fourth quarter versus the Ravens. So I could see a lot of points being put up in this game between Tennessee and Houston. So, therefore, I'm going to go with Kerry Collins this week.
All right. You buying that, Ross? Kerry Collins over Cutler and Bradford?
I absolutely am buying it. Again, Kenny Britt, Houston secondary, got to go with it.
All right. Well, that brings us into the next question because we have a user in the chat room that wants to just check and make sure. You know, I know Michael Vick had 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in his first 4 games, 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions in his last 4 games. So he wants to know, should he go Kerry Collins over Michael Vick?
Well, I'm not willing to go quite that far. I just think, look, Michael Vick wasn't going to throw 44 touchdowns and no interceptions this season. But look, I think he accounts for 3 touchdowns today. I think he does a lot of different things. I'm not that sold on the Giants' defense shutting down Philly. It's close, but you have to go with Vick.
Yeah, I think you have to go with Vick at this stage of the game. One more here. We'll get back over to our game previews. Ralph, non-PPR, needs one of these guys, Miles Austin, Kenny Britt, or Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Which one are you going with?
Yeah, normally I would tell you to go with Mike Williams, but he's been a little quiet lately. Whereas Kenny Britt, I think this is a guy who in his second week back is now more comfortable, he's gotten more practice reps in, he's fresh, and I think that against that Houston secondary, he's really going to have his way. I mean, if you watch that Houston secondary play, the whole defense really just cannot tackle. So when you got a guy like that, you put the ball in his hands with his size, with his speed, with his agility, I mean, this guy's going to be able to take a 10-yard pass and turn it into a 50-yard touchdown. I'm going to go with Britt.
You know, this is a tough call. I understand your logic. It's just hard. You know, Mike Williams has about 700-800 yards receiving, another 7 touchdowns. I think I might go with Kenny Britt myself, but, boy, I got a tough time sitting Mike Williams, the Rodney Dangerfield of this. There was a team defense question that came in, Carolina, Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, or Atlanta. I'm going to give you Arizona because I just think they're going to just destroy Carolina. I can also see Atlanta over Seattle, but I do think Seattle will put some points on the board where Carolina is just a stagnant offense. So believe it or not, I like Arizona on that one. And that brings us into our next game matchup. This is the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show, by the way. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Always can check us out over at the NFLDraftBible.com where we're getting ready for draft season, and the player spotlight interviews are heating up, baby. The kid from Utah State, Marsh, the cornerback, just got invited to the Senior Bowl. We talked to him. A lot of good. If you're looking for NFL draft prospect interviews, then search no further, because we're going to bring them to you, baby. Live and uncut, raw. That's just how we do it. And the next matchup, Ralph, Jacksonville Jaguars, 8-5, travel into Indianapolis, 7-6, where if the Jags win, they're in. And not only that, that would mean I'm throwing out all kinds of nuggets and tidbits of information here. If the Jaguars win today, it will be the 8th year in a row in the NFL that a team has gone from worst to first. In other words, finishing last in their division and then finishing in first place the next season. The Jaguars have the opportunity to do that when they take on Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, well, one thing is for sure, this is going to be a very, very close and highly contested game. The stud here, well, a couple of guys, but first and foremost is Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean, he's had six straight 100-yard games. He's carrying the offense on his back, and this week he goes up versus the 29th-ranked Indianapolis run defense that won't be able to do much to stop him. Look for another huge game on the part of MJD. The other guy I could see a bit of a bounce back for is Jacob Tammy. He's been quiet over the past 2 weeks, but Jacksonville allows the six most fantasy points to opposing tight ends. I know a lot of people are touting Austin Collie to have a great game, but let's not forget, you know, this guy's coming back from a extended period of inactivity. I mean, this guy's been plagued by concussions. You don't know how he's going to come back. How is he going to react to that first hit that he's going to get? I mean, you know that, you know, Jacksonville is going to try to knock this guy out again. He's been showing a susceptibility to the big hit. So until I see him withstand, you know, a couple of big hits, a couple of big tackles, I'm not ready to say Austin Collie is back. So I'm going to go with Jacob Tammy here. I see a nice bounce back week ahead for him. The dud here is Mike Thomas. Remember his breakout game in Week 10 with that miracle catch versus Houston? Yeah, he had 149 yards that day, but ever since then, he's been averaging under 30 yards per game, and he was shut out versus Oakland last week. Another dud here with a capital D is Donald Brown. He's averaging 2.2 yards per carry over the past three games. He doesn't get the goal line carries. There's really nothing special about this guy. He's got no juice. A very, very big disappointment. We all expected big things out of this guy when he came out of UConn. The sleeper here is Javaris James. Hey, there's nothing special about James either, but he runs hard, and he has six touchdowns in his last six games. The other sleeper here is another running back by the name of Rashard Jennings. He's a runner with good short area burst and size. He is getting more touches. I mean, he's only for people in deeper leagues, but, again, he's got a chance to do something here. I love the way Jacksonville is running the ball. And, again, Indianapolis just doesn't do much versus the run. So, again, this game is going to come down to the wire, and I think Indianapolis wins it by a field goal, 27-24, Indianapolis.
Wow, definitely, arguably, the game of the week. You mentioned Donald Brown. Ralph, I want to know, you know, because I like the kid, too. Part of me wants to give him the benefit of the doubt. Look, that offensive line is atrocious. Believe it or not, I saw somebody, a website, I can't think of the name right now. It might have been ESPN, but somebody had a list of offensive line rankings. And remarkably, they're probably one of these, you know, look, I love stats, but sometimes you got to watch the games. It was amazing. They had the Indianapolis Colts as the number one ranked offensive line in the NFL, and they were basing it on this season. I don't know what the hell they were watching. But, you know, part of me, not to sidetrack too much, Ralph, the Colts offensive line is atrocious. Part of me wants to give Donald Brown the benefit of the doubt. Or is he just that terrible?
Look, yeah, that offensive line hasn't been very good. I mean, I think Bill Polian has done a poor job of drafting players to replenish that offensive line. I mean, look no further than Tarik Glenn. They never really replaced Tarik Glenn. Brought in guys like Tony Hugo, who now is not even in the league any longer. So, yeah, I hear you about that offensive line. But still, I mean, Donald Brown, he's got to be able to show me something. I mean, This guy hasn't made any really big plays that I can remember of this year. He's looked decent catching the ball, but if they're not even giving him the goal line carries, that should tell you something about Donald Brown. And I'm sorry, he just has not shown me enough. So you have to think that, you know, going into next year, you know, with Mike Hart there, you know, I would have to think that Mike Hart is probably going to, I don't know, maybe, I think he's the better back than Donald Brown. And his short audition there this year, Mike Hart showed me more than Donald Brown.
Yeah, definitely disappointing. And the one person on the planet that is thankful for Donald Brown would be none other than Joseph Addai, because I think his contract is up at the end of the season, and the Colts looks like they will do anything and everything to get that guy back. So Donald Brown just earned Joseph Addai a nice new little contract. All right, guys, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, time to go over to the chat room. And Ross, he needs to bench one of these guys. It's a non-PPR league. He needs to start three: Kenny Britt, Mike Wallace, Deion Branch, and Ronnie Brown. I know a lot of times we like playing the running back over the wide receiver, but this might be one of those instances where you put Brown to the bench. Agree or disagree?
I think in this instance I'd have to highly consider benching Ronnie Brown. The other guys are playing very well. Ricky Williams is going to take some away. I don't think that's crazy.
All right, needs two. The next equation, Ralph, welcome to calculus class. Needs two: Pierre Thomas, Freddie Jackson, No'Shawn Moreno, and LeSean Shady McCoy. Which two do you like from the bench? This is a PPR.
You said pick one or pick two?
Two guys: PT Cruiser, Freddie Jackson, No'Shawn, or Shady.
Okay. Pierre Thomas, Freddie Jackson, McCoy, No'Shawn, and who was the other guy?
LeSean McCoy and No'Shawn Moreno. And you had a Freddie Jackson and the PT Cruiser.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go with McCoy definitely here. He's got the best supporting cast, and I think that he's definitely going to be a factor catching the ball and running the ball. I'm not a big fan of Freddie Jackson this week versus a very tough Miami defense. And No'Shawn Moreno, I just don't like that offense, and I don't like it especially with Tebow back there, even though No'Shawn has been playing well lately. I'm going to go with Pierre Thomas and McCoy. With Pierre Thomas, you have to consider the fact that Chris Ivory is probably not going to play this week. And I'm sorry, but Reggie Bush has not looked good over this past few weeks, ever since his comeback. With Pierre Thomas, you got a guy that, he's very good in the screen game, and Baltimore has given up lots of yards via the screen pass to running backs. So I think Pierre Thomas, this is going to be his week to shine. He had 12 carries last week. I look for that amount to increase this week, and he should get anywhere between 15 to 20 touches.
Yeah, trying to work himself out of that Sean Payton doghouse. Moving right along. Next question: PPR league, Ross needs one of these guys. Has to choose from Santana Moss, Donald Driver, and we ran into this situation last night where Minnesota Vikings quarterback Joe Webb is still listed as a wide receiver in Yahoo leagues. So he has the opportunity to start Joe Webb as a wide receiver. He's starting at quarterback this week for the Vikings. Do you like Joe Webb to put up better numbers quarterbacking than you do Santana Moss or Donald Driver receiving?
No, I don't. I'm not buying into this Joe Webb experiment here in Yahoo leagues and any other leagues where he qualifies as a wide receiver somehow. Look, you know, it's very easy, that very clear that Joe Webb could easily go, you know, 12 for 26 for 124 yards and two interceptions. Those aren't wide receiver numbers. So don't be assuming that just because he's playing quarterback, he's going to score double-digit points. I don't think that's the case. I think Grossman is going to put it up a lot today. And just because he's going to throw interceptions, that doesn't mean that Santana Moss is going to be penalized for that. I think Moss is going to have a decent day. He's definitely going to outscore Country Joe Webb. I like Santana Moss for, you know, 75, 80 yards and probably a touchdown today. And that's more than Joe Webb's going to do.
Hey, Ralph, I want to get your opinion on this because this was a hot topic on last night's Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable discussion. The whole Joe Webb at wide receiver, you know, he qualifies in Yahoo leagues. First part, do you like him this week as a wide receiver flex play? And second part, do you like him more than Santana Moss or Donald Driver?
First of all, I don't like him at all this week. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, coaches are split on the Vikings. You know, some coaches, you know, happen to like him as a quarterback and some happen to like him as a slash guy. I definitely don't like him this week. I mean, it's really a stab in the dark to go with him. But to go with him as a wide receiver over the guys you mentioned, well, I mean, I wouldn't. I can't start him over a guy like Donald Driver or even Santana Moss. You're talking about two veteran receivers out there, you know, two guys that, especially Donald Driver, a guy that, you know, he's very good at running routes, getting underneath, getting open. You have to think that he's going to see some passes go his way, and you have to think that Green Bay is going to throw the ball. They're not going to be effective in throwing the ball. They are going to throw the ball, though, playing in catch-up mode. And with Webb, I mean, you don't know. This guy might end up having, you know, like three interceptions, two fumbles, and it's too much of a risk to go with Joe Webb here. I'd rather go with one of the veterans, either Santana Moss or Donald Driver. Give me Donald Driver out of these three guys.
Well, I'm a gambling man, and I like to take chances and risks, and this is the kind that I like to take because, you know, the ironic part of this question is if you go away from Joe Webb, then you're relying on Matt Flynn or Rex Grossman to get you the ball. So either way, you're betting on a loser. Give me the quarterback, and I can already hear Taz laughing from here, but he lit up the preseason, dude. I took a little heat last night. You know, I did say that Joe Webb did light up the preseason, and I think he is going to light up the Chicago Bears a little something-something, too. So call me crazy. That's just how I see it.
Crazy.
Tight end question, Ross, Chris Cooley or Zach Miller? I don't know which Zach Miller is, but talk to me.
It's got to be Oakland Zach Miller, who looked very healthy to me last week. You know, he sat out, played a couple plays for a month or two, but to me, he looked 100%. And I got to say, Chris Cooley, one of the bigger disappointments this year in fantasy football. I thought he and McNabb would have a monstrous chemistry together. Has not happened. And for my money, Zach Miller going to find a lot of room against that Denver defense today. I love Zach Miller today.
All right, there you have it. LaDainian Tomlinson or Tashard Choice, Ralph?
Yeah, not much of a choice, but go with Tashard Choice here. But LaDainian Tomlinson has been a total zero in recent weeks, and now he goes up versus the Pittsburgh Steelers that shut down just about every running game that comes their way. With Tashard Choice, he's got the much better matchup. You have to think that, you know, he'll probably run into one or two goal line carries, maybe put up about 50 yards and have a possible score. So I think Tashard Choice is the way to go there.
Okay, quarterback question, Ross. Jay Cutler against the Vikings or Big Ben Roethlisberger against the Jets?
Boy, it's a tough question because I really can't stand Cutler, and I like Ben Roethlisberger's moxie. I'm going to go with the moxie in this one. I don't think either one has a big game, but let's say that Roethlisberger gets down close and throws one to Mike Wallace and one to Hines Ward. That's two. That's one more than Cutler's going to have. I'm going with Ben Roethlisberger.
All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. Want to apologize to all our phone line calls. to tell you the truth, we got a little bit sidetracked today. So good friend of the show, 609 on the line, Jersey in the house, staying alive.
Yo, my brothers, I am alive and gone to the promised land next week. I get my mantle in shape for my two legs, got my polish out, ready to polish the stuff next week. You know what I mean, brother? Hey, some quick questions. I got two PPR and one standard. I've been listening to you. I picked up Kenny. I hope I go off grit this week. I got him. I got Mike Williams. I got Corsant. I got Bolden. I've taken Bolden out of the equation. So the remaining three, I need two. PPR, you get a point per reception. point every 10 yards. If you hit 100 yards receiving, get another 5 bonus points. The gentleman I'm playing has, what's his name? Branch, and he's got Roddy White going against me. So which of my 3 do I pick 2? Britt, Mike Williams, Tampa Bay, and Garcon. He is starting Freeman, but that doesn't make me mean I got to play Williams because he's got Rodgers out. So, but I just want to let you know he is starting Freeman as his quarterback.
Right. I'll tell you right off the bat, Kenny Britt and Mike Williams are sticking out to me, but I'll take a deep breath, pass it to the left, and go ahead, Rev.
You need to pick 2 out of these guys?
Yes, sir. I need 2. PPR.
Okay. I would definitely go with Roddy White and Kenny Britt here.
No, excuse me. Sorry.
No.
He has Roddy White and Branch going against me. I have Kenny Britt as an option, Mike Williams at Tampa Bay, and Pierre Garçon. Garçon scares me with Holly coming back.
Pierre Garçon would scare me, too. I would go with Britt and Mike Williams.
Ross?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be unanimous with Kenny Britt, but I like the way Garcon's been playing lately. I think Peyton Manning's getting a little more confident in him, and that last week's performance to me and Williams' last week's performance, I think I'd lean toward Garcon and Britt.
I don't know. I'm going to make one last point, Jersey. That Detroit secondary is very, very shaky. Mike Williams has 7 touchdowns on the season. Just too many options in Indianapolis. I'm not speaking French this week.
All right, and my other PPR question is, I picked up the Cowboys defense. Do I go with the Cowboys, or do I wait and see? I got the Jets also. Wait and see what the weather is in Pittsburgh.
I don't think the Jets are going to win that game. I do think, you know, despite my praise of Rex Grossman, I do think he will commit 2 to 3 turnovers at a minimum. So I'm going to lean towards Dallas with or without the weather in Pittsburgh. Who do you like, Ross, Dallas or Jets defense?
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Jets defense today at all. I think Dallas has caused 8 turnovers the last 3 games. I know they've given up some points. And, you know, the Redskins' offense is no good. And I think Pittsburgh's offense at home is going to be able to move the ball on the Jets, believe it or not. So I know it's kind of an upset here, but I'd go with the Cowboys.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this is a tough one. I would probably go with Dallas myself just because I think that they're going to be able to generate more turnovers than the Jets. Maybe the Jets might be able to hold the Steelers to less points, but I think Dallas is going to generate more turnovers and going to definitely make more big plays. And that's what makes you points in fantasy leagues.
Yep.
It's the turnovers, it's the interceptions, it's the defensive touchdowns, and I think Dallas has a higher potential to make those types of plays.
Yeah,
no, that's what I was thinking. Hey, my last question, my standard league, I got Arian Foster. I'm up by 30 points because Rivers gave me 30. Do I stay with Steven Jackson, or do I go with, I might score 2 touchdowns, the law firm? Standard league.
Oh, wow.
I know I've been going with Jackson, but there's times that the law firm outscores them. But, you know, with the Green Bay situation, I'm sure they're going to run the ball. I mean, what's it called, New England, after they get up. So, but I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, you hate to go with who you got, you know, what got you there.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. You got to go with the guys that got you there. I'm a firm believer in that. However, I am liking that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis play. This is really, really a tough call. Ralph, Steven Jackson or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
Yeah, this is the toughest question of the week by far here. I'm going to go with the law firm this week just because you take a look at his production over the past 4 or 5 weeks. This guy's had tough matchups each and every Sunday, and he's came through. I mean, versus teams like Chicago, versus teams like the Jets. And you have to imagine that New England is going to be up by a considerable amount this week. And you have to think that New England is going to try to bleed the clock at some point in this game. And they're going to give him lots of carries. You know, whereas the Chiefs are going to be expecting Steven Jackson to run the ball a lot. And I think the Chiefs are going to be better prepared to shut down the run as opposed to Green Bay. And, you know, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in goal line and short yardage situations, this guy's been a champ all season long, and he's been only getting better and better each and every week. I'd probably give the law firm the slight edge here, but it's very close.
Yeah, to me,
Jacks with the law firm. Go ahead.
Yeah, to me, this is a question of a guy who scores touchdowns against a guy who really, let's be honest, Steven Jackson's a better running back, but he doesn't score. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis might have less yards, but he's going to find the end zone in this game. And, I mean, I dispute a little bit the fact that New England might be up in this game, but that in no way, shape, or form means they're going to run the ball. I mean, they could put a 60 spot up if they're throwing the ball all game. But I got to say, I like Ben Jarvis Green Ellis if it's a choice.
I'm
going to
make it unanimous,
two.
Jersey. I'm making it unanimous. I'm on board with the law firm this week.
All right. Guys, I appreciate it. Like I said, I respect what you do for me. You've helped me. And like I said, it's tweaking little things here and there. But again, so you guys have said in my PPR, you like Britt, and you probably like Mike Williams a little bit more than Garcon due to the mix with Holly coming back. Do I understand that correctly? Two out of three.
Yep.
Like Britt Williams.
Yes. Two of us like Mike Williams. One of us likes Pierre Garcon. Okay. I'm just going to tell you like this: that Detroit secondary is so shoddy, and Mike Williams is a touchdown maker. Seven touchdowns on the season. So.
Right. All right, guys. I appreciate it very much. Best luck to you guys in your leagues this weekend. We'll be talking next week as I polish up the trophies, man, going into week 16.
There you go. I know.
You got it,
Jersey.
You know what? Make those checks out to cash, brother.
There you go. I know we'll be talking to Jersey next week because he's a survivor. 707 on the line. What's on your mind?
I'm going to give you guys a tough question here. This is going to be tough. What it is a three positions, and it's a salary cap. So basically you have to have weaker receiver, stronger quarterback. This is the first question. We got Peyton Manning, Arian Foster, Pierre Garçon. Now I can go with Deion Branch instead of Pierre Garçon because of the same price. Now the second question, now this is again, or this other team, Schaub, Turner, Reggie Wayne. So those three players against each other, who do you like? The first group is Peyton Manning, Arian Foster, Pierre Garcon. Second group, Schaub, Turner, Reggie Wayne. Now, taking consideration, when a player does good, it increases his value.
Right. Yep,
so you
I
can lose
you.
That value. I'm loving Turner this week, but next week, Turner, I think he plays Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to go first here. I got you. Salary cap league, you have two options, with the salary cap combination. You can go Peyton Manning, Arian Foster, and Pierre Garcon, or Deion Branch. Or the other option is Matt Schaub, Michael Turner, Reggie Wayne. Let me start off by saying this. There's one great big X factor that makes this choice easy for me, and that's called Peyton Manning. And you know what? Despite the fact that I think he's one of the biggest losers in the history of the NFL, because if you look at his body of work, all this guy does is lose. I know he won a Super Bowl, but Brett Favre won a Super Bowl, and Brett Favre has been in the league for about half of the Super Bowls. Okay, I don't want to sidetrack too much with your call. I like Peyton Manning to win this week. I like Peyton Manning to dominate. And I like the Indianapolis Colts to make the playoffs. In order to do that, they're going to put a little run together. It wouldn't surprise me if the Colts rattle off three wins in a row to finish the season. That's why I like Peyton Manning. And for my bang for the buck, I'll take Deion Branch over Pierre Garcon. So I'll go Peyton Manning, Arian Foster, and Deion Branch. Let me ask you, Ross, the other option is Matt Schaub, Michael Turner, and Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, I agree completely with your explanation there. I think the biggest discrepancy you're looking at here is Manning over Schaub. I don't think Schaub's going to have a bad week. I just think Manning's going to outscore him by more than any of the other differences there. And I also like the addition of Branch over Garcon there. I think he's much more dependable, especially with the new addition in Austin Collie back for the Colts. So I would agree with Rick 100%. I'd go with those three.
Ralph, you with us?
Make that three, because I also like Peyton Manning, and I also love Arian Foster, who, in my opinion, is the best running back in fantasy football right now. So you take Manning, you take Foster, I'll take both of those guys over just about anybody at their position this week.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate it. This is a 17-team league. and I'm leading in it, but I can't hear laws. I got a good lead still, but I still want to be aggressive and don't sit back and be conservative and still don't let them try catching me. But real quick question, guys, I have, how about this, Peterson or the law firm?
Oh,
I'd go law firm. I wouldn't even hesitate.
Wait, what, Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go with the law firm this week. I think Adrian Peterson, he might get you 60 yards, if that. He's in a very tough situation with a quarterback that has never played before. He's still only a rookie. And you have to think that Chicago, which shuts down the running game, I mean, I think they ranked second versus the run this year. You have to think that they're going to be gearing up versus Adrian Peterson and daring the Vikings to throw the ball.
Yeah, and 707, you know, this is where you earn your money, playoff time. Chicago's going to be stacking the line, daring them to throw the ball, like Ross said. I went back and checked the game logs. Adrian Peterson, 17 for 51 in the first matchup, zero touchdowns. I went back and checked out last season. He has not had 100 yards rushing against the Bears in a long time. And, you know, this is one of those rare occasions where I'm going to agree with the fellas and go with the law firm here.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
I also have Forte. Forte kind of scares me in that situation, too.
No, I think you got to go with the guy who scores touchdowns, and that's Green Ellis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the thing with Forte is Chester Taylor on that team is a guy who gets a lot of those carries on the goal line, so you can't have a lot of faith in Forte.
All right, guys, this is why I listen to you guys. You guys are money. Appreciate you guys.
Well, we appreciate it. 707, feel free to call anytime, my man. All right, well, moving right along, helping out the people, this is what we do. Staying on the phone lines, 267, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys, this is America's Guest. Actually, I got dropped off the internet there, so I didn't know if you guys answered my question I put up on the chat line. PPR league had Arian Foster and Chris Johnson and Megatron, along with Mike Williams or Mike Wallace. That's Mike Williams.
Yeah, we answered that question.
I dropped off the internet.
Yeah, what I said was I'd go with the two running backs you have there, Foster and Chris Johnson, and I would also go with Calvin Johnson and Megatron. I like his matchup versus Tampa Bay. I know a lot of people don't think Detroit is going to win, and I don't think Detroit's going to win, but I think they'll make it a ball game versus Tampa Bay, just because I'm not crazy about that Tampa Bay secondary. You know, Aqib Talib is out for the year, and he was the one guy that could match up with Calvin Johnson. Right now, they don't have anybody that can really defend him, so I would go with Calvin Johnson along with the two running backs.
Yeah, America's Guest, thanks for the call. I think it's hard to bench Foster and Chris Johnson at this point. Ross, do you agree Megatron over Mike Wallace and Mike Williams?
Yes, I do. I think Detroit's going to hang in that game, and I think Calvin Johnson does find the end zone. I like Mike Wallace today, but not as much as Megatron.
Okay, great. That's what I have in my lineup, so I just wanted to get your guys' opinion. I appreciate it every week. Thanks, guys.
Yep. There you have it. If you want to stay on the line and listen to the show, if you got knocked offline, we'll leave you there. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mantini going around the league of mystery and intrigue. We're going to come back over to the chat room in a second, answer all your questions. But first, it's the big matchup that Ross has been chomping at the bit. The Eagles at the Giants, both teams 9-4. And let's be honest, the winner will probably have a first-round bye and home field advantage. The loser will enter the playoffs on the road. So take it away, Ross.
Well, I wouldn't count your chickens, man. Rodgers will be back for that Giant game. The Giants have to win this game, and I actually think they will. But I wouldn't be scared of their defense today if I had Michael Vick. The man is still a stud, as is DeSean Jackson. And I think people tend to overrate the Giants' secondary a little bit. You know, Corey Webster is a nice player, but he's not good enough to stop DeSean Jackson and Michael Vick from hooking up. So I think you use those two guys with full confidence. And I think, obviously, you use Hakeem Nicks. He played a lot more than I thought he would last week, and I think a lot more than expected. And now with Steve Smith out, you can expect an awful lot of targets against a banged-up, if he plays at all, Asante Samuel and the Philadelphia secondary. I think you can expect more touchdowns from Hakeem Nicks in this game. Use all three running backs here. I like Ahmad Bradshaw. I think he's going to be extra motivated to avenge his worst performance of the season and really the reason why Brandon Jacobs was named a de facto starter 4 weeks ago. I have to say I'm a little concerned about Eli Manning. I don't think he's a dud, but I don't think he's going to perform all that well compared to what he goes. I've gone back and forth on what I think, and I'm doing some research on his past performances here, and I finally landed that he's turning the ball over too much. Philadelphia likes to blitz and create turnovers. I think Manning has a decent game, but I think he's just outside the top 10 as far as fantasy quarterbacks go. I think I'd rather use a guy like Kerry Collins or Jason Campbell than Eli. I know it sounds crazy, but at this point I would. The sleeper here, look, 9 targets last week and a touchdown. That's right, the big boss man, Kevin Boss. Philly gives up the second most points to opposing tight ends, and I think you can look for Boss to find the end zone again. In a high-scoring game, lots of turnovers, lots of balls going into the end zone. I like the New York Giants, 35-31, the thriller.
Woo! Ho-ho! I'm getting excited already. It's only 9:30 a.m. You got a prediction in this one, Rev.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them scoring that many points, but I could see the Giants winning this game 28-24. I definitely like the Giants, though.
All right, we all like the Giants, which makes me a little bit leery of that pick now because probably the Eagles will win. All right, another big, big matchup on the docket would be the New Orleans Saints, the Super Bowl champs, 10-3. Playing some really good football, Ralph, heading into Baltimore, 9-4. And I know we're all big Derek Mason fans on the show, so how about this for a stat? 7 more catches, and Derek Mason will become the third player in NFL history with at least 60 catches in 11 consecutive seasons. That's pretty impressive, I might say. So shout out to Derek Mason. Take it away, Ralph.
Yeah, I'll get to Derek Mason later. I'm going to start off with Pierre Thomas as my stud here. I think he'll be a decent low-end 2 or number 3 flex back this week. Chris Ivory doesn't look like he'll play as he's battling a hamstring issue. And Reggie Bush, he looks a little slow out there, so I don't think he's going to do much of anything. Thomas showed that he's healthy enough to take out a decent workload last week, and the Ravens are just not the same defense they once were. In particular, the Blackbirds have given up production to running backs on screen passes, an area that Pierre Thomas excels in. The dud here is the Ravens' defense. This team is vulnerable to the pass, and if you watched that game on Monday Night Football last week, they gave up 2 90-yard drives in the fourth quarter to the Texans. That's not good. And they're not forcing as many turnovers as they were last year, and they're down in sacks as well. The sleeper here is Derek Mason. He was Joe Flacco's number one guy last week with 10 targets, 6 catches for 78 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he also dropped a third score. Flacco and Mason have great chemistry, and Mason is a wily old veteran who runs great short to intermediate routes. He can get open on just about anyone. I do like New Orleans in this game, though, unfortunately. I'm going to go with the Saints 31, Baltimore 24, and the main reason for that, I have no faith in that Baltimore secondary.
Picking again. Well, they're both. You like both of those teams, but I think you like Baltimore more. You had a prediction there, Ross? New Orleans at Baltimore?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go and say the Ravens somehow find a way to win this game 28-24.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm a little bit hesitant when these NFC teams come into the AFC home stadium, but New Orleans won the Super Bowl last year, so I don't put anything by them. I just think AFC teams are a little bit tougher. I'm just saying. Over to the phone line, 678, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys, appreciate the call. I just want to make sure on these moves today. I got Britt and Colson starting, and then leery about Jennings tonight, obviously with the weather and the quarterback. I think he'll get garbage, but other options aren't that good, Knox and Obanamu, so stick with that.
Yeah,
well, okay.
Stick with that.
You seem a little distraught, caller, so we're going to try to help you out here. Kenny Britt, Marcus Colston, you also have James Jones, Johnny Knox, and Ben Obumanu in the mix?
No, it's just Jennings, Knox, and Abunamo, the other two, yeah.
I like Obumanu. I'm not sure I like him over Colson. I think Britt is a must-play. Ross seems to be on board with you. Ralph, what do you got here? Britt, Colson, Jennings, and Knox.
Yeah, tough. I think I'm going to stick with Jennings myself. I mean, I just don't have a lot of faith in those other two guys, Knox or Abumanu.
And so you
right.
like Jennings, Colston, and Britt?
No.
Colston
and Britt are two guys that are already in the starting lineup, as far as I can understand. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm starting three, so.
Yeah.
Britt
and Colston are the Gibbons right there.
Right.
Oh, well, then I like Obumanu over Jennings this week.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. I think, Matt Flynn looked pretty poor last week, but he didn't know he was going to play. He's got a week of practice. He knows he's going to play this week. I don't think he's going to be that bad, and I think there's going to be some room for Jennings to at least do something more than Obumanu or Knox.
And the other thing is there's no way that Green Bay is going to be able to run the ball this week, and they're not going to run the ball because they're going to be in catch-up mode all game long. So, look, Flynn's going to make his mistakes, but he's also going to put the ball up in the air a lot, so that means they're going to be quite a few opportunities out there for Donald Driver and Greg Jennings this week.
All right, and Ross, you're the biggest Abumanu lover there is, so if you say Jennings, then I'm going to take your word for it.
Yeah, that's what I got. One last question, I appreciate it. I got my studs. I'm benching Ben Jarvis and Stewart and stick with my horses, MJD and Charles. I mean, MJD, no concern on the injuries at all today.
No, I don't.
Yeah, no, MJD is a train. You got to ride that train to the championship.
Tough call between law firm and Charles, though.
Yeah, it is. But I think, I just love the way Jamal Charles, I mean, both of these running backs are getting stronger as the season wears on.
Mm-hmm.
I like both of these guys.
They're both on turf today, Charles and
I'm going to take the easy way out and throw it over to Ralph first. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, or Jamal Charles?
Yeah, look, I love Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, but I cannot start him over Jamal Charles. You're talking about a top five, maybe a top three back in the NFL right now. And as I mentioned before, that matchup versus the Rams are not good at setting the edge. So that you have to think that a good perimeter runner like Charles is going to be able to get outside and gain some significant yardage this week.
All right.
That's what I got. I mean, so I got two. So I stick with my two horses then, and Stewart and Ben Jarvis. Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, ride with the guys. I got you there in this instance. Yep.
Okay. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good day then. Thanks again, okay?
All right, yeah, good luck with it. Hopefully we'll be talking to you next week because we're all about championships. And speaking of championships, the Atlanta Falcons got close but no cigar a few years ago there with Dan Reeves, who, by the way, Dan Reeves and Wade Phillips will be coaching the East-West Shrine Game. The Falcons are looking to get back there and do the Dirty Bird, and maybe Arthur Banks will take out the umbrella over there and do the Dirty Bird as the Falcons, 11-2, on the quest for a Super Bowl, traveling to Seattle, 6-7, trying to win the division that nobody wants to win, Ross.
You got it. Look, that Matt Ryan-Roddy White combo is tremendous, especially going against the 30th-ranked Seattle defense against the pass. Fifth most points to quarterback given up by Seattle, third most to wide receivers, fifth most to running backs. That means get them all out. Turner, big game. White, big game. Ryan, big game. Big Mike Williams, the only Seattle guy I think is worth having, and it looks like he's going to play, but he's no more than a low number two for me. And I know it's going to upset my man Taz here, but I'd stay away from Marshawn Lynch. He had his one game of the season, where he had those three touchdowns, but 10 for 29 against the 49ers there, and the Falcons are fifth best against fantasy football running backs. I think it's a recipe for disaster from Lynch. I think everybody knows to stay away from Matt Hasselbeck. 8 picks in the last 3 weeks. Yikes. Even in a two-quarterback league, I'd stay away from Hasselbeck. And as Rick mentioned here, I think a good sleeper in this game is my man Ben Obumanu. Back from the lacerated hand, he has good chemistry with Hasselbeck. And again, Hasselbeck throwing picks doesn't hurt the wide receivers. There are going to be yards to be made there. I think with Williams' health always in question, you could do worse for a number three than Obumanu. especially since Seattle's going to be playing from behind and passing an awful lot in this game. Look, Seattle's good at home, but they're not good enough to beat the Falcons. Atlanta wins this game 31-21.
All right, there you have it. I think this was my Survivor Lock of the Week on the Fantasy Football Twitter Roundtable discussion last night with Taz. Definitely check out that archived show when we're done in about 20 minutes or so. I'm keeping tabs on all your questions in the chat room. We're going to come right back over to them. But first, the New York Jets are stumbling and bumbling, in danger of missing out on the playoffs, Ralph. If they lose this one, they would drop to 9-5 in that tough AFC that we mentioned. The Steelers, 10-3, dealt with a major, major loss. I know the Jets are missing Jim Leonard, but the Steelers will be without Troy Polamalu for the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you who my stud here is, and that's Hines Ward. Ward is at his best when he moves into the slot when the Steelers go three wide. The Jets have struggled all year versus slot receivers. Although Ward is clearly past his prime, he's been coming on over the past 2 weeks. Last week he had 8 catches for 115 yards versus Cincinnati. The dud here is Sean Green. After a good week versus the Pats on Monday Night Football where he ran the ball hard, Green only had 8 carries, and then he left the game with a neck injury, but he should be ready to roll. However, the Steelers are giving up the fewest rushing yards per game over the past month with 48. Green has scored 1 touchdown all year, and he won't score this week, and he doesn't catch any passes, or usually doesn't catch any passes. Green should not be started under any circumstance this week. It's just a bad matchup with very low potential, very low upside. The other dud here is Heath Miller. He's been ruled out this week as he recovers from a concussion. So if he's in your lineup, take him out. And the sleeper here is another tight end by the name of Dustin Keller. He's been invisible for much of the season, but he reemerged last week as Mark Sanchez targeted him 12 times. There's a good chance that Keller will get some looks underneath versus a very aggressive Steelers pass rush. He should be checked down to quite often in this game, but I don't see the Jets doing much of anything versus a rough, tough, aggressive Pittsburgh defense. So give me the Steelers in this one, 24-14.
Oh, the Jets fan picking against this team. Do you have a prediction here, Ross?
Yeah, I actually kind of like the 10-point margin. I think the Jets defense plays all right, but I think at the end Pittsburgh pulls it out 21-13.
All right, there you have it. Let's bring these games home. There's 3 more games to cover coming back over to the chat room, I promise. As we said, it's Tim Tebow time. So all those Kyle Orton questions I saw in the chat room, you can just scratch them off your list right now because Tim Tebow will make his first professional start as the Denver Broncos, 3-10, travel into Oakland, 6-7. The Raiders, if you remember, put up a 59 spot on Denver a couple of weeks ago in Denver. It'll be interesting to see what happens here. And I think Cam Newton might actually be watching this one because I think how, depending on how Tim Tebow plays down the stretch here, might also weigh in on how Cam Newton's draft stock shapes and takes place over the next few months. Take it away, Ross.
Very interesting. Look, Rick, your boy Darren McFadden has been absolutely on fire, and he gets to face the Denver defense, which gave up 165 on the ground to him back in Week 7. He's my number 3 overall running back this week, going against the team, giving up the second most fantasy points to running backs. I think Knowshon Moreno is also a top 10 running back this week, as Oakland gives up the 6th most to running backs. Despite the quarterback issues at Denver, Moreno's played well, and against the Oakland D with a very shaky health-wise Rolando McClain, I think there's a solid day in store for Knowshon Moreno. The dud in this one, and you know the Rev mentioned it before, and that's Brandon Lloyd. You know, if he did nothing the first time the teams met, he's done nothing the past 2 weeks, and I know there's quarterback issues, but you know there's no sympathy in fantasy football. I'd stay away from Brandon Lloyd here. The sleeper, not really a guy you'd think is a sleeper, but look, Zach Miller has been off the radar of late. He's been written off after those 5 invisible weeks and his foot injury. But he's healthy now. Last week he showed absolutely no signs of being limited. He's going against a Denver team that gives up a lot. 5th worst tight ends in fantasy football. If you have Zach Miller, be happy you hung on to him. I think Oakland cruises to a win here. I don't think Tebow puts more than one touchdown on the board. I have Oakland 27, Denver 10.
All right. Let's keep it moving on to prime time. And the Green Bay Packers, 8-5, minus Aaron Rodgers, travel into New England. 11-2, Ralph. The team has not committed a turnover in five consecutive games. That's the longest streak in NFL history. And Tom Brady needs 41 more completions without an interception to break Bernie Kosar's all-time record, 308 consecutive passes without an interception. Take it away.
Yeah, Tom Brady has been just a monster lately, but the guy I like here as a stud is the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. The guy's had tough matchup after tough matchup lately, but he's been productive nevertheless. Green Bay was excellent at stopping the run earlier in the year, but injuries to guys like Ryan Pickett and Cullen Jenkins have taken its toll. Look for the law firm to get lots of carries in this one, with New England bleeding the clock with a sizable lead in the second half. The gut here is the Packer running game. James Starks, Brandon Jackson, you don't want to start those guys. Without Rodgers last week, Green Bay couldn't get its running game going versus Detroit. And plus, you have other guys in this committee, you know, other guys that are going to get a few carries, guys like Dimitri Nance, guys like John Kuhn, who's going to get a few touches. And New England, on the other hand, has been very stingy versus the run lately. Matt Forte was held to 2.8 yards per carry last week. The Packers do not have a sustained back, and they're going to be in catch-up mode, and they're going to throw the ball a lot in this one. The sleeper here is Danny Woodhead. The ultimate flex back has 376 yards rushing, 335 yards receiving. Green Bay's linebackers, A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop, aren't very good at covering scat backs out of the backfield. As a matter of fact, running backs are averaging 35 yards per game, 35 receiving yards per game versus Green Bay's defense. Take New England here in a lapper. Patriots 34, Green Bay 15.
All right. I will buy that. And we're going to wind it down. One last game, Monday Night Football, and then we're going to take it on home with your questions in the chat room. The Bears, 9-4, traveling to Minnesota, 5-8, where they will play at the University of Minnesota, Ross. And Big Joe Webb, UAB, getting the call.
Yeah. Look, to me, the stud in this game is the Bears' defense. You got Weather plus Joe Webb, and that equals major fantasy points for the Bears' defense. All they'll have to deal with, not all they have to deal with, but, you know, they'll deal with Adrian Peterson. They held him to 57 yards the first time they played. He's all the Vikings have on offense with Joe Webb at quarterback, as far as I'm concerned. And even though he usually kills them, the defense is going to be ready. Webb is not going to be able to take care of him. We saw what happened when Adrian Peterson had to face a pretty stiff defense with absolutely no quarterback when they played the Giants. Not a lot. There's going to be plenty of turnovers from Joe Webb. Look, bottom line is the running back I prefer might even be Matt Forte. You know, with the weather, there's going to be a lot of dump-offs by Jay Cutler. There's no need for the Bears to put the ball up all that much, and Forte can accumulate 100 total yards in this game, I think. Look, the dud in this one, and look, I feel bad for, as I said last night on the Taz show, I feel bad for those of us who hung on to Sidney Rice, and I'm one of them. Right when the playoffs start, he's rendered useless by the fact that Joe Webb and Tavares Jackson were his quarterbacks, and maybe good for a couple of jump balls, but the Chicago defense really doesn't give up a lot of deep passes, and I can't rely on Joe Webb to get him the ball with any consistency or accuracy. So unless you need three wide receivers, I would bench Sidney Rice today, sorry as I am to say that. The sleeper here, how about rolling with the Minnesota D? And Jay Cutler looked awful in bad weather last week. And look, I think you can expect the Bears to give up some sacks and for Minnesota's defense to recognize that they are the ones that are going to have to come up with big plays in this game because their offense simply isn't going to. I'd start that Bears D against, you know, Baltimore, the Giants, teams of that ilk. I think Chicago wins a very low-scoring game, 13-10.
All right, so Rostradamus says to take the under. All right, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini going around the league, and we're going to go back over to the chat room. All our chat room people, I want to give a shout-out to them. So first one up, Ralph needs three. Pierre Garçon, Brandon Marshall, Deion Branch, Santana Moss, and Hines Ward needs three of these wideouts: Garcon, Marshall, Branch, Santana, and Ward. Which three do you like?
Okay. I like Hines Ward this week. I mentioned it before. The Jets are not good at covering slot receivers, and when they go three wide, I think Hines Ward's going to see the ball here. I'm also going to go with Garcon. You have to go with Peyton Manning here. You have to think that with the season on the line, every game being a playoff game for the Colts, you would have to think that Peyton Manning is going to throw the ball all over the lot this week. So Garcon and Hines Ward are two givens. Then it comes down to Marshall, Branch, or Santana Moss. I would definitely not go with Santana Moss, given his quarterback issues. So then it comes down to Marshall or Branch. You can't go with Marshall either, because his quarterback has just been awful. What did he have, 55 yards passing last week? So in that case, give me Pierre Garcon, give me Deion Branch, and Hines Ward.
All right, there you have it. The Reverend just broke it down real nice and properly. Team defense, Atlanta or Miami, I think this one's a toss-up. I give the slight edge to Atlanta over Miami defense, because I think Buffalo has a chance to put points on the board, where I think Carolina's offense is just atrocious. I think the Falcons are going to dominate that game, so I'm going to give you Atlanta defense on that
Seattle.
One. Tight end question, Ross, Owen Daniels or Zach Miller? I think we may have covered this one.
Well, we definitely discussed the fact that they're both looking healthy and ready to play 100%. I'm going to go with Zach Miller here. I have them ranked fourth and fifth, but it's a toss-up for me, but I'm going to go with Zach Miller.
All right. Needs two of these guys, Ralph. Mike Williams, Johnson, I'm going to guess it's Andre Johnson, and Deion Branch. So if it is Andre Johnson, that's a no-brainer. So it comes down to Mike Williams of Tampa Bay or Deion Branch.
Now, this is Big Mike Williams or Tampa Bay Mike Williams?
Tampa Bay Mike Williams.
Yeah, I would go with Tampa Bay Mike Williams in that case.
I agree. And it could be Calvin Johnson. Either way, whether it's Calvin or Andre, definitely play the Johnson. And we like Mike Williams from Tampa Bay as well. This next one is a toughie. And it's I think we got it on the phone call. Jamal Charles and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, are we all in favor that we love Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, but we're going to stick with Jamal Charles here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's close, but I have to go with Charles.
All right. There was a question about the New York Giants weather. I live about 15 minutes away. It's a cold, crisp day. They actually just showed it here on the NFL Network a few minutes ago. It's no humidity in the air, so I wouldn't worry about that storm from the Jersey Shore coming up north here. Right now it's not raining or snowing. It's a clear, cold day at the New Meadowlands. needs two of these guys, Peyton Hillis, Jamal Charles, LeGarrette Blount. I think Hillis and Charles are the way to go all the way. Do you guys agree?
Yes.
Yep.
That's right. Non-PPR, Ross, Tim Hightower or Matt Forte?
Tim Hightower for me. I'm not scared of Beanie Wells taking carries away. I think the Minnesota run defense is actually playing rather well, despite what the Giants did against them. They don't have the same fear they do when they're going against Matt Forte, who really, you know, has been somewhat limited and a disappointment this season. And look, I don't see how you get rid of Hightower. Even if he gets under 20 carries, he should easily have 100 yards against that weak Panther D.
All right. Sticking with the Tim Hightower theme, Ralph, non-PPR. He's got Hightower, Miles Austin, and Jeremy Maclin. Which one do you like there for your flex?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hightower here. As we always say, go with the running back when in doubt. And in this case, you know, Maclin and Austin, you know, they're not guys that, you know, you don't know what you're going to get out of those guys. I mean, they're up and down. I'm going to go with Hightower here.
All right, another team defense question, Atlanta, Philly, or Arizona. I think Atlanta is the only team out of those three that's actually going to win their game. So I'm going to, again, stick with ATL, Hot Atlanta, on the road. Non-PPR, Ross, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, Anquan Boldin, Danny Amendola needs one.
Mike Williams of Tampa Bay is the way to go. You know, I think last week he suffered a bit because of the weather, but I think, again, as I mentioned earlier, the friendly confines of Tampa are going to be the medicine he needs to get well, and I think he will against that Detroit secondary.
I think I'm just going to buy me one of those Mike Williams jerseys from NFL.com where you can make a customized jersey and just have Mike Williams' number with Rodney Dangerfield's name. And that'll be a hot seller, man. The guy gets no respect. I mean, what do you guys need? What does this guy need to do to convince you that he's worth a fantasy football play? Donald Driver or Santana Moss, Ralph?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Donald Driver here. I'm sorry. I don't trust any of those Washington receivers with Grossman back there. You know, Donald Driver, he's the veteran guy. He's going to get open underneath. And as I said before, the Packers are going to be throwing the ball all game long. So go with Donald Driver here.
All right. Again, Mike Williams in the equation, Ross, that being of Tampa Bay. Or Jeremy Maclin, and the X factor is he's already starting DeSean Jackson 2-2 for school. So do you hit him with the killer combo in DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin, or do you pair DeSean Jackson with Mike Williams?
Yeah, I hate putting all my eggs in one basket with the Philly offense, even though it is the highest yardage gaining offense in the league. And I just think Mike Williams, I would erase last week. I think it's a blip on the radar, and I think I go with Mike Williams here.
I think I agree with you. Ralph, next one, boy oh boy, get your pen and pencils ready. It's a non-PPR league. He needs three of these guys. You know, I'm going to say that the first three are sticking out to me, but I'll rattle off the names. Roddy White, Hakeem Nicks, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, and then he has Santana Moss, Johnny Knox, Devon Best doing the hula hoop, and a name I haven't heard in quite a few weeks, Nate Washington making the show. So I guess the question becomes, do you start Santana Moss, Johnny Knox, Devon Best, or Nate Washington over any of those first three guys, Roddy White, Hakeem Nicks, and Mike Williams?
Absolutely not. The first three guys are all studs that you start each and every week.
All right. That one was easier than I first thought. Non-PPR league needs one of these guys, Ross, just needs one. Mike Wallace, Brandon Marshall, Anquan Boldin, or Jacoby Ford, and return yardage is included. So one of these guys, Mike Wallace, Brandon Marshall, Anquan Boldin, or Jacoby Ford, who you're rolling the dice with.
Yeah, I mean, I know Revis Island is in effect. I know Anquan Boldin's good for a touchdown, maybe. I don't trust Brandon Marshall. I'm going to go with Anquan Boldin here. I mean, I know it's a tough matchup, almost as tough as Mike Wallace's, but I think Bolden's savvy in the red zone, and the fact that Flacco plays well at home makes me want to go with him.
All right, and the last question that I have here is a team defensive question. If you guys have any more questions in the chat room, get them in now, but this is the last one that I saw. And, Ralph, I got to say, I like all of these defenses. I like all four of them. I don't think you can go wrong. Miami, Arizona, Oakland, and Atlanta. Miami against the Bills, Arizona against the Panthers, Oakland against the Broncos, or the Falcons against the Seahawks. You know, ride or die time, which one defense you going to go with?
Well, to me, it comes down to either Oakland or Atlanta, and I think I'm going to go with Oakland in this one. At the very least, Seattle has a veteran quarterback, a savvy quarterback playing for them, you know, so I think Atlanta is definitely going to shut down Seattle, but I love Oakland this week. I mean, they're going up against Tim Tebow. And, you know, you guys brought up Brandon Lloyd before. I think he's going to get blanketed by Nnamdi Asamoah, and I think Oakland just forces turnovers. I don't know if the Broncos are going to be able to score a touchdown this week. So I think Oakland is my pick here all the way.
All right, there you have it. That about just does it for us today on the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show. Woo! We did it again, baby. Week 15 holiday. Good luck to everyone in their playoffs. Looking forward to chatting with everybody next week. You know how we do it, 8 to 10 each and every Sunday right here on the Fantasy Sports Channel, which I'm proud to be part of. But I will tell you this, do yourself a favor and I might make some enemies with this one, but the show following us is brutal. Spare yourself the time and go listen to the Fantasy Football Roundtable Twitter discussion hosted by Taz, featuring myself and Ross, Ryan Quinlan also on the show. So if you want to do yourself a big favor, avoid yourself from the next show. It's hard to listen to. Trust me, I've tried. Go over to the archives. Check out the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable discussion. You'll get more good stuff like this. And until next week, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this? I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it.
Move it.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it.
Give it up, go.
Welcome to the big show. Simply
wait.
Jam.